Josh, your camera.
Okay. So, just picking up with what we're talking about in Shabbos a little bit, Rambam, who makes his comment about the idea of people getting together to drink to the point of shichris, of becoming drunk, and the Rambam says it's an act of denigration, which is much greater than the act of denigration of a person's physical needs, which are necessary. This is something which a person chooses on his own to denigrate himself to the point where he's losing the control of the seichel over the body. A human being would want to do that. That's something which should be totally removed and foreign to our mind, our thought process. So I mentioned that I had a conversation once with the Bach, and I was which by Chasna, he was masmiya to me that he doesn't understand how I could ask for the drinking, how you going to be samech with the chosin. And I, like, we weren't communicating because I said to him, you're telling me that the only way you can be happy for your friend is if you drink. I didn't relate to the thought process, and he didn't relate to my thought process, and we were having you need to drink to be able to make me samech. I said, why? I'm pretty happy. I don't drink. I mean, I think I'm happy. I like dancing with us. So I said, it seems to me that the problem is really something else totally. The problem is that that this person himself is better not happy with inside of himself. There's elements of frustration with himself. And from that vantage point, he wants to find a way to get out of it. And this is a way amongst many to get out of it. So I was thinking about, you know, okay, if I want to say shmuz about that, so I need to find, you know, some occurrence about that topic. So, in the classic sources, they don't talk anywhere about the idea of escaping from yourself. It's a modern thought process. So I said, like, how do you say this in the classical terms, which we could find a makor to talk about this idea of somebody wanting to do that? What is the root of it? You know that they say that one of the things that Slobodka stressed was godless Adam, and one of the challenges we have is recognizing godless Adam, understanding what it means to be Chav Adam Shenever B'Tzelem, Chibi Yisrael Nadas Loi Shenever B'Tzelem, Chav Yisrael Shenikru Barim Lamakim, Chibi Yisrael Nadas Lohem Shenikru Barim Lamakim. The tremendous Chavivus that the Rosham has for us, it's not stressed enough. The Rosh Hashanah has chavivus for mankind. It's not stressed enough. The Rosh Hashanah has chavivus for Ben Yisrael. The person imbibes their mother's love, and you know the person knows their mother loves them. Revolver writes in one place. He says that he writes about kina in the Chelak Aleph and the Betovim. So he says one of the challenges you have is Bachim will stay in the dorm. So you stay in the dorm. So, with as many milas to that, but you know the downside is that you're with people all the time. You never escape these individuals, and as you sit with these individuals all this time, you start noticing everybody's milas and only your chesrenes. Whereas if you go home, so like you know, at least in a healthy home situation, right? So the mother's job was to believe that every one of her children is the most wonderful person in the world, right? So the child goes home and the mother says, "You're wonderful," you know, and then goes home next night and says, "You're wonderful." Eventually, he starts believing it. Right, but in the dorm, nobody tells you you're wonderful. Right? You know, that's not the job of another bacher. You got to tell yourself. So I had an individual in Tells, which he was a little bit too intense during his Musa storm. Like you know, I'm a nothing. I'm a garnished to the point where he really felt he was a garnished, and therefore like I have nothing of value. Like why am I living? Type of a thought process. So I said, I gave him a job to learn the Musa Seder, Gateway to Happiness, and he should say every single day, I'm very special, for 20 minutes straight. He refused to do it. And I said, I'm not joking, and this is what you need to do. He couldn't do it. But that's what he needed to do. So the problem is, so the Shari Avoida, the Ben Yonah, sorry, Avoida, the Ben Yonah is a pretty intense safer. If you ever learn Ben Yonah, like he's pretty intense. All of his swarm are like, you know, he really expects a lot from us. And it can be pretty depressing when you start measuring up how well you are not doing. But the Ben Yarden has the Sefer called Shari Avoida, which is Miyuchas of Ben Yarden, and he says that the first part of the person's Avoida is to recognize that he's a very special person. And he's unique and he's special, and there's something very important about him, and he has to absorb that and internalize that. Chavos Levavos in Shara Kaniya, he says if a person doesn't understand his value and he just lowers himself with humility because he thinks he's worthless, that's not Kaniya, that's what behemoths do. Behemoths submit themselves to the human beings because they are lower than human beings. That's not anibus. It's only called Kaniya as a lashon mushal, as a barrel term to refer to the act of a person lowering himself like a behemoth. But that's not true anibus. True anibus is a person who understands how valuable he is, understands his greatness, understands from that vantage point, he decides to, even so, to lower himself in front of others and accept other people's needs, etc., and focus on them. That's a true anibus. But to think that you're nothing, that's not anibus. That's like being like a behemoth. The Chavos Levavos says there are two most classic sources, right, for Musar. The Chavos Levavos, which is the first Musar Sefer that we have, Chavos Levavos was written before Rashi. Chavos Levavos lived before Rashi. So, you know, before we had Rashi, we had the Chavos Levavos giving us Musar. And he says that the Yesod of the person's Avodah is understand how valuable you are. But even that, the problem is, even that, what happens is, it's used as a cudgel to bang over our heads. You're so special, you should be doing more, and you're not, so you're horrible. So back to square one, you know. So the goal is to make me feel good about myself. We didn't solve my problem. Like, that's what happens. Like, in yeshiva, come on, you know you're really special, so therefore, why aren't you learning more? That's always how the sentence goes, you know. Why aren't you accomplishing more? It's a pastor nisht, you know. So, you know, they say, Ratursky says over that, you know, his father never, you know, the biggest way his father was admonishing was by saying, sapasnisht. It's not fitting you. So that, in a context of a father with fatherly love, who constantly was mechazik his son and had a cheshivas for him and recognized the value which is there, so that was a very good point. Right? It was uplifting. You're right, Tak. That what I just did really wasn't me. That's what it means. That's not really me. I'm better than that. He says a very acute story, I guess is right. But, you know, he has a book, a few books. He has more than a few books, but, you know, I haven't kept up with them after a while. Like, you know, I just can't keep up with them anymore. But way back when, he wrote a book called Generation to Generation, which is a lot about the different things he learned from his father. So he's a Tversky from the Chernobyler, the Moronayim, the Heilige Moronayim. So he's from, you know, that guess. And the Moronayim, the Chernobyler had, I think, 9 sons or 11 sons, all but last name of Tversky, strangely enough, just because his father was his name. So now, they all became Rebbes, and each one went his own way, and, you know, that's where Skver is from. So there, for the guess of the Hornsteipler, the Steipler was from the city of Hornsteipel, and the Rav, actually, what was there was Tversky. My mother, Leah Shalom, was from a city, Trisk. The Rebbe over there was a Tversky. Right. So they were from Amish. They were from guests of the Rebbe. So he has a story over there. The one time, they had interesting chevra over there. They ended up in, you know, Milwaukee, you know, right? It's interesting chevra over there, Minneapolis, Milwaukee. I think it was Milwaukee, there was an individual survivor of he used to play that. The fellow wasn't too much into Yiddishkeit anymore, but he liked coming around the shul and hanging out, eating the kugel. And Kitzer, Rabbi Tversky says a story. When he was younger, one day he ended up, the two of them played a game of chess together. And Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, I don't remember exactly the story. What?
Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, good. So the story goes, at the end of the story, his father, like, the pastor initially should play chess on Rosh Hashanah. And then he says, with a twinkle of the eye, he says, but you beat him, right? So he had the balance, you know, he had the balance. I'm proud of how you beat him. But the mice, it's the pastor initially. That message is not, you know, the problem is, if it's just used as a hammer to bang over your head, to, you know, sepasternisht, you know, and that's it. The goal is that the person understand that person is chaviv, is never. And each individual is chaviv. And so what happens is there's this meter called kino. And Revolva points out that the pasuk refers to it as rekav atzamas kino. And the rekav atzamas kino pasha means, because I'll say it means the withering of the bones. The Bor says in Shabbos that there was a The Morse started with Reb Nachman, that he was once digging somewhere and they came across a totally intact body, who then arose and spoke to him. He was buried, right? And he asked him, why are you totally intact? He says, because I never was jealous of anybody ever in my lifetime. And the pasuk says, "Rekav atzamas kina," the withering of the bones, that which the body is rekav, it decomposes, is due to kina. I never had any element of kina in my life, and therefore I didn't decompose. Right? So that's pshuta. Chazal hadarshan mamash kipshuta. The physical decomposition of the body comes from that. But the Rav Olbe says that the pshat is rekav atzamas, is the atzimis of the person withers away. I'm a nobody because I'm busy focusing on what I see around me. The final result of that is, which is probably worse than that, in Kina, is Yiyush. And the Chaim Vital in his Shara Kedusha talks about the four main yisodas which a human being is made out of, and the lowest one of the four elements a human being is composed of is Ofer, and Ofer puts the midah of Yiyush, Atzlus, and Atzvus in the person. The three midahs which it generates are Atzvus, Atzlus, and Yiyush. His offer is slow, that's Atzlus, it's very little movement. But more than that, it generates a feeling of depression and a feeling of Yiyush. So Chaim Vital was already describing the idea that a human being could get depressed. Right? We did not need to wait for Sigmund Freud to come along and describe it. Chaim Vital talks about the day of a person, human being, being depressed. So this is, and the opposite of that is the midah of simcha. So what is simcha? Simcha is a person. So Rav Olbe and Chelik Beis and Ali Shur talks about, he has a parak on simcha. He starts off with that it brings from Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital says that there's two elements of simcha that a person has in his life. One is semech bechelkoi, and the second one is simcha b'mitzvus. He says, and he looks at that. What he describes it as two wings, which touch it, lift you off to the ground. Offer holds you down. Gravity holds you down. It's very physical. You're stuck down. And the element of simcha is it lifts you up. But we the Yetzirah is very, very not nice. And I've pointed out to you multiple times that the Yetzirah's goal is not to destroy your Olam Haba. Yetzirah's goal is to destroy your Olam Hazeh. And once your Olam Hazeh is destroyed, you'll have no Olam Haba either. Right? And you know, people always look at me like, what do you mean? The Yetzirah's goal is to sell you Olam Hazeh. That's not true. The Yetzirah takes the person who is a kaisen and makes him get angry. He's not happy in this world. Person who says a lie, lashon hara to somebody and damages the relationship, he's not happy with that. Person says something, insults somebody, right, and hurts somebody who's dear to him, he's not happy with that. And the result is the person gets depressed. What did I just do? Why did I do that? I'm such a horrible person. I never get anything right. Oh, hi, hi. And then he does anything. Doesn't do anything. He says, "Oh, you're such a horrible person anyway. So why don't you just do a virus?" He said, "Yeah, why not? You know, that's the Yetzirah's goal. The Yetzirah's goal is to get you down to the point that you say, you know what? I give up. Once you give up, then you have no power. The Yetzirah has total shlita over you. So we semech bechelkei. So it's not referring to your physical, you know, how much money you have, how much success you have, you know, in English terms, you know." A person who's successful means he has money. That's the translation, right? Strange world that we live in, right? Human being which is successful, human being which deals with life in an intelligent way is successful. And a person who doesn't is not successful. You have all the money in the world. If you can't control yourself, you're not successful. And you have no money in the world, but you're a person of stature, of bearing, of control, right? That's pretty successful, right? So we define ourselves, whatever that definition of success is that we put for ourselves, when we're not there, we're frustrated. I was thinking, you know, there's a fascinating Igeres HaGrah. The Garden wrote a letter. He was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote back a letter of Musar to his family, and many important points mentioned in the letter. But one of them, which is probably the most famous one, one of the most famous ones, the Chofetz Chaim quotes it, and it made it into, you know, many of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, different promotional materials, that the Gaon says that Kol Rega, he talks about them and being careful with what they say. He says that the person's avoid in this world is not to be masag of themselves and fast, and it's to control. Resin pibet havoisav, to put a bit, to put a to rein in, to control your mouth and your tibes. And he comes out to pshat and says that sharm piv l'shana sharm mitzoras nafshoy. He says piv means what you eat, control what you eat. L'shana control what you say. That's all you have to do, and that control will be a kapara for all of your avarice. That's what the Gaon says. And he says, kol rega v'rega sh'adam chosim piv. Every moment that a person keeps his mouth shut, he muzzles his mouth. It means he wants to say something, he controls himself. And then I say, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. No, I have something to say, but I control myself. He's zeich alor agonos to a hidden light. Shein kol malachu ber yachol lishayir. That even the malachim can't even be mashar. They can't even estimate what it is. It's so beyond the comprehension what it means. So what does he mean? What does the guy mean? We've had the experience where we're presented with a nisoyan, and the nisoyans have a way of coming back again and again and again and again. So the first time I'm presented with a nisoyan, I don't say anything. You know, somebody really bothers me, and somebody asks me about him, and I really have what to say, and I control myself, I don't say anything. All right? So the Bershim, because he wants us to grow, so he says the HR comes back in a different opportunity with the same request. Somebody else asked me about it. Right? And again, I control myself. Third time, somebody else comes, and I just blurt it all out. That guy, he's a who knows what. And I felt horrible. I just totally lost it. I said I shouldn't have said anything, and I said it. You know, I'm a failure. That's it. What do you mean you're a failure? The first two times you controlled yourself. But we define success by not the process, not each challenge, but by the final result. The final result, I say, Lashon Hara about the guy. Zot the guy, called Rega Berega Shalom Chosim Piv. Every moment that you control yourself, I didn't promise you that in the end you didn't say anything. There's nothing to do with it. But for this Rega, you controlled yourself, you didn't say anything. You get Or Hagonus. You say, Lashon Hara, you'll get Gehenim also. But you don't lose the fact that you got Or Hagonus. So a person is challenged with the element of taiva, and he controls himself once, and then twice, three times, the four times he does it. So he didn't accomplish something the first three times. Of course he did. Elamai what? So he damaged himself the fourth time. That doesn't negate what he accomplished. But in our minds, the way the Yetzirah wants us to look at it is, well, I failed. So if I failed once, and that happens multiple times, the HR doesn't give up, right? So the person feels, I'm a failure. So of course he wants to escape. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with what I'm being asked to do because I keep failing. And I'm looking at the guy, well, you're not failing. You were successful three out of four times to overcome it. And this happens 15 times, that three out of four times he overcame, and the fourth time he didn't. So, but what he looks at is a failure. The fifth time, the next time he says, you know what, forget it, just do it right away. Like, that's what the Yetzer wants you. He wants you to be Mayayish. He wants you to be Ba'atzos. He wants you to be depressed. Because you're depressed, you have no energy to deal with anything. So the Mishnah's Thiba Yaseir and the Dasloy, is not just as a hechatimsa to tell you, and therefore you are a nothing because you're not accomplishing what's to accomplish because you're so wonderful, the Rosh made you so strange. That's not the point. The point is it's supposed to be Bubby. Bubby says you're wonderful. You know, Bubby says you're wonderful. Bubby says you're wonderful. And you're supposed to absorb that you're wonderful. Well, if I'm a wonderful guy, I feel so good about myself. I don't want to do this. I'm not interested in doing it. It's not even a soy. It's memait and a soy. The point that's a pasnished is not, you know, listen, you really blew it, and you could, and even you, Ivy, you know. Right? The point is a pasnished. It takes it off the radar screen. Why would I want to do something like that? It's like no shaykhus to me. That's the void. To absorb that you're wonderful. So go back to my your gentleman. You know, told me your most sacred avoid is to say, I am special with a niggin. I'm special. You know, that is the void. And the guy thought of Mars. You know, but I might be from Mars. That might be true, but it doesn't mean I'm not right. You know, that I. So of course, the question is, if I'm right, why is it the average mashgiach who gets up in yeshiva and says shmuz doesn't say what I'm saying? Right. So I can't answer that question 100% because I haven't discussed it with them. But I'll tell you my theory. You know, I grew up in a yeshiva, which is, you know, I love my rebbeim dearly. This was not the musr that they said. Right? The musr was you know, sometimes was very, very was, wasn't, didn't put you down. It was, yes, we expect tremendously from you, but, you know, but it was, there was a tremendous amount of demand. Right? I remember the yeshiva, you know, I mean, his whole being just, you know, was like, you know, was a message of like, you know, like, Rangel, look at that. Look how much you're not. You know, it was like, you know, like it was. It could be potentially very depressing. Yes, and they didn't. Well, they weren't into giving compliments. How wonderful you are, etc. Like I pointed out to somebody, I can count on my two fingers the compliments that I got from my Rishiva. I mean, once in a while he said a vort. He said, I like the vort. But as a person, you know, I got two compliments. And one was by Shav Brochus, so it doesn't count. So. Like one time, you know, now behind my back, he said nice things about me to other people. Okay, but to me, you know, that's not how they did it. Right? So, Revolver writes in the beginning, in Ali Shirkeli Beis, he has a whole section introduction to the what he called the Vedas and Musr. And he says, the Velt likes to make Shitas and Musr. And it's totally true when he says, there's nothing as Shita and Musr. Every element of Musr is necessary. What needs to be stressed at certain points is everything, but there's no Shitas and Musr. And the point place where I see it was Navardic. So Navardic is like was very into like the idea of like, you know, the lowliness of man. Man is just like, you know, it's look how horrible you are. Like you have such taivas and you're like, you know, you're gaiva, you know, etc. So one of the ways they used to deal with it was they used to like, you know, they would be mivaz themselves barabim. The belt says, you know, one of the. The vitzim which they have nowadays is that, you know, that the pharmacy put the Navardic out of business because they would go into the apothecary, which only gave medicine and asked for nails. Nowadays you could actually get nails in the pharmacy sometimes. That was the end of the Navardic. That's what the belt says, right? But they would go into the you know, I don't know about you, but I remember thinking to myself one time, the first time I was, you know, really like thinking about that, and like, you know, after a few weeks of that, I'd be so depressed, I'd probably commit suicide. Like you know, everything, the city thinks I'm an idiot. I mean, like, you know, and I talk, I look like an idiot, I dress like an idiot, you know. I mean, like, you know, like, you know, like no COVID. COVID is recognizing your value. The answer is, how do they do it? Because they knew they were valuable. They knew God lo sodom. They knew what it means that they're a ben to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now they have a new problem. They're worried about gaiva, so they have to dress gaiva. I'm not holding my wearing my gaiva. My problem is I don't know that I'm a ben. So that's the thing. There's no sheet and musr. It's linderkeit for mensch. That's a way to deal with gaiva when you hold it by the point that you're talking worried about gaiva because you've internalized that you're special. So if I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm special to Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, I don't care what you think about me. I couldn't care less. It's unimportant. Not because I'm so low, I'm worthless. I'm so great, I don't need your approbation. I don't need your covet. I get it from a more important source. I get it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not a sheikh as a Muslim. It's the same yisoid. Now, from that point, it's a person is all to get to the point. He has other issues. I have to address those issues. We're not holding anywhere near the world of the Vardik. We don't know what it means to be a ben to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't understand what it means to be valuable. We understand that we're walking around with a tremendous cheshivas. Again, not that it should be a cudgel to bang you over your head and therefore you're not doing good and therefore you're a horrible person. No. You're special. You are. And just stop there. Like, the person likes you. By the only Averis, he still likes you. He loves you. You know, Bubby loves you no matter what you do. What if it was a Bubby? He loves you no matter what you do. He would like you to do better because he cares about you. You know, so Bubby would also like that. But you still get cookies, no matter what, by Bubby. Because Bubby loves you. So we have this. So the problem is atzvus. The problem is yush. The problem is kina. It's also expressed in the kuda of Radifas of Kavod. What is Radifas of Kavod? So the Miri says a fascinating lashon. It says that a person who's right of Kavod is worse than an Ibn of Adazarnik. He says, why? Because an Ibn of Adazarnik, he has his getchka and he bows down to his getchka. He says, the person who's right of Kavod bows down to the whole world. Because every person in the world, he wants to get recognition from. So, he's got 7.5 billion, I don't know whether they're holding 8 billion people, right? He's Ovid. I mean, that's a lot worse than one Getchka. Every person, a person has low self-esteem. Right? He needs somebody he wants to focus on himself. Reb Chatzkel, if you ever learn Reb Chatzkel Shmuzin, Reb Chatzkel was, I remember one of my older chaverim, Rebbe, that learned in Ponyevich, he describes Reb Chatzkel Shmuzin. Reb Chatzkel Shmuzin says we're the equivalent of sledgehammers, basically. You'd walk into a Shmuzin, you come out like this big. Like that was what he described Reb Chatzkel Shmuzin. Like, you know, if you ever learned, Reb Chatzkel for Avodah and Elul, like it's like, whoa. Okay? I heard from somebody whose father was an Altamir, that Reb Chatzkel said, it says, yet a mensch daf a lefel of kavod yet a tog. Every person needs a spoonful of kavod every day. You don't need a spoonful of sugar, right? You need a spoonful of kavod. Reb Chatzkel said that. Reb Chatzkel has a mitzvah which he says to Talmud, he says, you need a little more gaiva. You have to believe in yourself a little more. And he has a shmuz over there. If a person's about gaiva, he's going to burn a gehenna for for a billion years. That's what it says in the shmuz. In the letter, he says, my son, you need to have more gaiva. Kavod just means you're valuable. Everybody has to know that they're valuable. Of course you're valuable. If you're not valuable, why did the Russian create you? You need to know that you're valuable. And you need to be reminded every single day. So how do you do that? You're Sameach B'Chelkei. You look at your proportions. The Russian made me the Russian also called Tzarki. The Russian made me what exactly I need. So for what I need to accomplish in this world, nobody has that job. What I need to accomplish, I'm perfect. I'm not as smart as the guy next to me. I don't need to be as smart as the guy next to me. I'm not as strong as the person next to me. I don't need to be as strong as the person. I need to be exactly the way I am. Because the Russian gave me a unique purpose. And I'm very valuable because the Russian created me. Excuse me for getting off into my, it's my soapbox. I'm allowed to say whatever I want right now. One of the greatest damages which evolution wrought on mankind is this problem. How valuable are you if you came from a monkey? If you're really all you are is an animal. I mean, they actually think animals are more important because, animals came first, right? It's a choice between a gorilla and a kid. We prefer the gorilla. Alligators and kids, I don't see that they see the hole like that. Gorillas are more cuddly, I guess. But, okay, I don't know. But alligators have more teeth. I don't know, something like that. That's what it is. But if there's no purpose, there's no function, there's no design, so we are talking worthless. We're talking worthless. It's horrible. And yes, we have a moon. Our previous generation didn't have a muna. They knew it in their kishkes. When I was in Tel Aviv, I'm a Belchuba, so I remember. So the 10th grade science teacher we studied biology was a Belchuba, and he spent about 2/3 of the year debunking evolution. It was the most fascinating class. And this guy was a scientist, which the principal was friendly with, who convinced him to come and give this class. He wasn't a teacher. He was a scientist. He had horrible control of the class. Mamish, horrible control of the class. Right? But he the man knew his stuff. And I was just like, wow, this is great. And he was, just what he knew. And most of the class, thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. Like, what idiot would think man came from monkeys? Like, it's a total waste of time. That's the thing. Nowadays we discuss the possibility. Generation like, are you out of your mind? Look what a human being is. Look at godless Adam. The Russian created me. I know that. I don't have to prove it. It was part of their being. Rabbi Singifta one time said to me, she said, you know, says we're much firmer nowadays than we used to be. He says, but Yir Shemayim, they had a lot more Yir Shemayim. The pressure was real. He said, you walked around the street during an Elul. It was real. This is what science did to us. It's a horrible thing they did to us. That we grapple with, are we valuable? Of course you're valuable. What's a Hava Amina not? The pressure created you. Terror says, that's the idea that I have. I know that. I don't feel it. I don't live with it. So I come, and the Rosh Hashanah gave me Hechatim. So, Simcha B'mitzvahs. We kill it. We destroy it. We say brachas in the morning. And brachas, you know, it's like, you know, the Rosh Hashanah takes care of me. He's Pekeach Yivrim. He's Hakef Kefufim. He gives me clothing. I should feel so warm and fuzzy inside. The Rosh Hashanah is taking care of me. That, of course I feel good about myself. And at best, it ends up, you know, we say brachas with kavana, and we know what the words mean. That's not brachas with kavana. I stand in Shemon Esrei, and I ask for my Creator my needs. It's the most. The person should be awestruck of the opportunity to stand in front of his Creator and ask for his needs to the point that he almost can't open his mouth. Not because he's scared, because look at the opportunity. The person is interested in hearing what you have to say. That's so valuable. The Russian is screaming at you, you are important to me. I want to hear what you have to say. You, not Klal Yisrael, you personally, I want to hear what you have to say. You know how powerful that is? What do? We say Shemona Esrei. And we have Kavanah, we know what the words mean, etc. We're taking the most important opportunity the Russian gave us to internalize how valuable we are, and we blow them every day, three times a day. Because I'll say the definition of a shaita is he's ma'av mashanoistim loy. So I'm not calling a shaita, because, you know, but maybe. But it's shtus. It's ma'av shtus. It's idiocy. It's like you're given this gavaldik matan and you throw it out. And it's medicine that we need. We need this medicine. The reason why we're able to withstand the Yetzer Hara and do what we have to do is because we know the Breshem loves us. And from that vantage point, the Rosh Hashanah loving us, he's a loving bubby, that he loves us, he's a loving zeta, that he loves us, I feel so good about myself. I'm not interested in doing these stupid things. So Yetzer Hara makes us that our davening and our mitzvahs, and when I put on tefillin, my Rebbe one time said he had the sa'ara. Right, Rosh Hashanah morning, right? Kiyas Shofar. Right, so Lamatzeach, leave the karach means more. And push it, a crescendo seven times, it's base matters, walls are shaking. Then they say the psukim of Kras Sotan. There's a clap. And the Baal Tekiah says the bracha. And, you know, tells the Shiva, there's 500 people. 500 people scream out amen. Says, I have a better idea. 7:25, Shachris. The Chazan's up there with his trillin. Everybody's ready with the trillin. Like all 500 people in base matters. Baruch! Amir trillin! Amen! What happened? Why not? That's what it means to put on tefillin every day. It's less than Kiya Shofar. Tefillin is an ice. How much is tefillin? You have a shiloh with the answer remains to the bracha. We'll say it quietly. We kill our mitzvahs. We destroy them. The person who gave you tefillin, which is an edus, an ice, the breeze to Tzion HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, that we are the ones who carry HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name on our head. Hashem Echad, we are the Am Echad Ba'aretz, which carries HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Can you imagine anything more valuable than that? And we put on tefillin. And we're like, we are idiots. The Rosh Hashanah gave us a hechatimsa to feel good about ourselves and may able to be energized to do what we have to do and not feel have atzlus and yiyush and kina and redivas of covenant and all those problems that which plague our generation of low self-esteem, and we destroy them daily. That is shtus, my friends. Absolute shtus. So hence getting back to my original, right? So the guy says, I like drinking because I like escaping from being frustrated about myself. I can't be Mesameach by a chas, he says to me, unless I drink. And I'm looking like he's from Mars. Your friend is getting married. Be happy with him. But he can't. He's in such pain of his frustration in his own life that he can't do that without taking a chemical and numbing himself. And if it's not a chemical, it's wasting time, or it's reading a book, or it's doctors, whatever you want to do, it's numbing yourself because you can't deal with life. Because you don't feel empowered to deal with life, because you don't understand how, you don't feel good about yourself. Again, I'm not to the point, you're so important that therefore it's terrible if you don't do the right thing. That's my point is, you get to the point, you feel good about yourself to the point where like, lo ichpatli, I'm not interested. I'm interested in doing stupid things. The average adult, as far as I know, doesn't walk by when they see kids playing in the dirt and say, it's a pasmanish to play in the dirt, right? I really would like to consider it the possibility, yes or no, it's a pasmanish. You get to a point where you understand the value that you are. It's not in your universe. It just doesn't fit. That's what he means, sapasnished. It's not a sledgehammer to bang you over the head. You are horrible because you're so good, so special, and you're not like that. Oh, you're bad again. It's like, I'm not interested because I know how valuable I am. That is the challenge we're trying to accomplish. Now, how do you take people which don't believe it, that they're important, make them important? So he says, okay, so the Baruch Shem gave me hechatimsis to be a human being can connect to his creator. I tell you, I the most powerful thing is to me is davening, learning, doing a mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah means it's a moment where you're meeting your creator. He commanded you to something, you're listening. You are important enough that he's commanding you. The Moshe gave you. I never had a conversation with the ants in the street. I said, listen, here's the deal. From now on, you got to do this. Or else we're going to drink trouble. And if you do it, you get a lot of reward. Ants are not in my universe that they're important enough to me to care one way or the other. But we are in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. And the gap between us and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is greater than the gap between me and an ant. And I still don't talk to ants. Right? I don't give them commands. I don't expect anything from them. If they don't do anything, I don't punish them. If they do something, I don't reward them. They're not important to me. What does it mean we have a mitzvah? The simcha of a mitzvah is the Baruch Hu is interested in seeing what I do. It's empowering. We are important. We have a value. We have a function. We have a life. The Baruch Hu is like, he's excited to hear what Reingold's going to come up with today. I'm also sometimes interested in what I'm going to come up with today also, but like, you know, but okay, I'll just end with, you know, I've said this, just very recently said this much, so I just want to say it again, but to think about it for a moment. I gave you the scenario, two people come, Motzi and Kippert, come to ask a shiloh. First person says, you know, Ne'ilah. You know, it's very hard to think of the Ne'ilah. You know, you reinforce yourself and you push yourself and you energize. But you know, I said, you know, you've been fasting a long time, you're tired, you've been davening. And one person said, you know, what can I tell you? I made it with Kavanah for the first bracha, and after that I did mama spaced out. I said the words. I know I said the words. I have no idea what I was saying. Nothing. My mom was like, feel horrible. I killed my Ne'ilah. What do I do? Second person said, you know, what can I tell you, Rebbe? The first bracha, I had no idea what I was saying. I was like spaced out. But I caught myself by a tall Gibor, and I had Kavanah, Gavaldika Kavanah, the rest of Shemon Esrei. And Mamash, I had such a Gavaldika Ne'ilah. I was Mamash into it. I understood everything I said. I was thinking about it. I was absorbing it. I was diving. I was crying. I was laughing. I was dancing. Out thing. But the first bracha, I had no Kavanah. So the Pesach is, he's not Yotzei Shemon Esrei. And the second person, the person who had Kavanah in the first bracha, and blew the rest of Shemon Esrei, is Yotzei Davening. He's Yotzei Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur with the first bracha. What does that tell me? That tells me that the most important part of Tefillah, everything the Yom Kippur Ne'ilah is supposed to give you, you can get in the first bracha. Because if you get the first bracha right, you were Yotzei. And if not, you weren't. Everything Yom Kippur Ne'ilah is supposed to give you is in the first bracha. What's the first bracha? The Kadosh Baruch Hu puts his name on a human being. And the Baruch Hashem describes himself as Elokei Avraham. Is there any greater moment than that? Right? Elie Rangel says, I am the God of the ants. I probably would be taken away to the same asylum. Right? The Baruch Hashem says, I am the God of Avraham. Are we out of our minds? Avraham exists on the planet Earth, which, calling it a molecule compared to the universe, is not a good mashal. And that's just the physical universe. So there's this little electron on the molecule called Earth, called Avraham. And the Baruch Hashem was just greater than the physical universe, and then there's the spiritual. He says, what am I? Elokei Avraham. The most important word in the first bracha, Shemoneh Esrei, is bi'ahavo. That only could be because of Baruch Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem's love for mankind. There's no other way to explain such a metzius. And if you absorb that metzius in the first bracha, Shemoneh Esrei, that bi'ahavo, the Baruch Hashem is willing to put his name on me, he's Elokeinu ve'Elokei Aviseinu, you've got everything you need to know for Yom Kippur and Ni'ilah. For any Shemoneh Esrei you ever need to know. You got it right. You absorbed. There's nothing more important to Kodesh Baruch Hu than little Elie Rheingold. And that's all you need to know. And from that vantage point, you feel good about yourself. You're probably not going to do many avers. Because I'm not interested. Why would I want to do that? Okay, everybody. So I think this, as far as I understand, this is probably the last Shemus for this month. So this will be my message to take you over the summer. The summer is a time of tremendous challenges, especially if a person's out of yeshiva, he's not in yeshiva, he doesn't have the miskeres of yeshiva, right? Even if he's in yeshiva, he doesn't have the miskeres of yeshiva, that's a different issue. But Kal v'chomer, maybe I don't know, but Kal v'chomer, right? And there's many nisyonos at summertime in our society, there's a amount of nisoyon. And remember that Rosh Hashanah loves you. Rosh Hashanah loves you to the nth degree, way beyond anything you can imagine. And he cares about you, and he thinks that you're special. He's a Bubby and a Zadie rolled into one, like a million times over. Right? Cookies and milk. Just remember that. Cookies and milk. And then, from that vantage point of cookies and milk, I'm not interested. I'm just not interested in those type of things. They're not important to me. They're not enticing. It's just like, why? I have cookies and milk. Okay, you could replace cookies and milk with whatever you want, you know, brownies, whatever you want to put in there. But the point I'm saying is, you get the point. And then a person comes back into an Elul, and a person from a vantage point, that's Tisha B'Av. Like, that's how sad it is. That we lost the clarity of that understanding. We'd walk into the Mishmitish and we'd feel enveloped in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms. We lost that feeling of Ahava from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And remind ourselves, this is the month of Ahava B'Tavta. And Ahava also stands for Elul Ba, Elul is coming. And Elul, right, is represented by a psula. We're new, we're fresh, we've held on to ourselves, we're valuable, we're very something very special, very unique. And from that vantage point, we move into the Yom and the Roim. So this is, we're giving ourselves now a message, we hope we will carry us through the challenges of the summer, to come into an Elul and to enter the Yom and the Roim, energized and ready to do avodah, because we understand how much the Baruch Hashem loves us.